This is the Hot Stove Report.
Going, going, goodbye baseball.
On 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle app.
Welcome back inside the Hot Stove Report. Aaron Goldsmith now joined by Jake Fraley, who is getting things going down in Arizona as we are approaching the start of everybody showing up down there to the complex in Peoria. Jake, it's great to have you with us on the show tonight. How you been, man?
Good. Everything's been good, man, and even better now that we're getting ready to kick off spring training.
So you make the off-season home in Miami, and then you spend time in Arizona. So, like, when you come to Seattle for the season, man, that's the first time you got to get the galoshes out. You're tanned and primed year-round otherwise.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I'm half Irish, half German, so the tan part is kind of a tough one for me.
I will say, as we are recording this over video conference call, Jake, the beard is looking in mid-season form. What is the off-season beard maintenance program like?
For me to get the shape that I want, I gotta trim it up and attend to it probably once every like week and a half to 2 weeks. And then other than that, the normal, obviously beard shampoo, so cleaning it, and then beard oil. So just trying to keep it how I want it.
Very fancy oil and shampoo specifically for the beard. Mm-hmm. I got a lot to learn.
Yeah, the oil is good for the skin. So. That's a must.
I understand. Hey, man, we all wish that we would have seen more of Jake Fraley last year in Seattle. You spent the majority of the truncated 2020 season in Tacoma. As we are now getting ready for things to fire up for a full 162 in 2021, what was it that you were able to take out of the oddity that was last year that you feel will benefit you moving forward into this season and beyond?
Yeah, a lot. Last year was, quite honestly, a very, very tough year for myself. A lot of us, and even not the players, even, you know, just the entire world with everything that's going on and that's, you know, kicked off and started last year, dating back to almost a year now when, you know, all of us got that news in spring training last year that everything was going to be shut down. But I mean, last year was a big, big learning step for me and my family. And for me going forward, and I mean, anybody that talks to me, and I, you know, fortunate enough to be able to get on like we're doing now and discuss some of these things, I always go the route of where my heart is at. And that's obviously where, you know, Jesus is. And last year was a big learning step in my personal life, but also in correlation with my baseball career, where I really learned a lot about where I was putting my trust, and it was in the wrong spots. I was putting my trust in, quite frankly, the things that aren't going to fill me up, aren't going to allow me to receive what I want. And aren't going to provide for me, you know, what I need on a daily basis as far as for my happiness and joy. So for me, it was really eye-opening. It was allowing me to kind of rear back a little bit, realize what really matters, which is me walking with Jesus every day, and not relying on kind of what the Seattle Mariners think of me or what fans think of me or even go as far as, you know, what my teammates think of me. For me, it was really just learning where those values are at, taking, you know, some of the things that happened with a grain of salt and then moving on from that. And it's really, really been an amazing ride. That's, I love, in the Bible, when I listen to the prophet Paul talk and Paul talks about how perseverance develops faith. So just going through and persevering through those things is allowing me to kind of build up that faith that I have, that I walk with every day. And kind of catapult me into, you know, this year, and kind of keeping me on more of a solid foundation of not relying on the things that I did rely on last year. And quite frankly, probably the years before that as well, just not noticing it so much to where, like I said, that foundation is solid now and it's on the things that matter.
Mariners outfielder Jake Fraley is our guest on the Hot Stove Report. Jake, that sounds like a pretty serious personal journey that you went on in 2020. What was the final tipping point? Was this you looking in the mirror, a conversation with your wife or someone else? What was it that really made you realize that something had to change mentally for you?
Yeah. I think for me, the tipping point was when I got called up. So I obviously didn't make the opening day roster, which is a big blow, obviously anticipating that to be out there and be with the team for opening day and obviously for the entirety of the season. But, you know, when that happened, I went back to the alternate site. You know, I stuck my tail between my legs. You know, I took it like a man, like you should when you kind of get hit in the face a little bit. You know, I didn't really play too well in the summer camp. You know, I'm not the one that's going to, you know, try and beat around the bush. You know, I'm going to take it head on. And that was the case. And so I went back to the alternate site when that first happened. And, you know, I just went head on with, you know, what I wanted to kind of fix on and work. And I was playing extremely well every day in the alternate site. And then I got called up and for the first time last year. And then I was up there for, I think, 5 games. And then they called me back down and I got sent back to the alternate site. And for me, that was the real tipping point. When I remember very vividly coming back from that road trip in Anaheim. And then, like I said, only having, I think, 5 games. And then after that first home game back, they called me to the office, sent me down. And they actually claimed another outfielder, which was kind of like the corresponding moves. And for me, man, that was tough. That was really, really tough. I got back home and that was kind of where it started, where I was like, man, like the decisions and the things that kind of are being said about me for, you know, to that point of the year, you know, I kind of sat down and really started thinking to myself, like, this shouldn't be affecting, you know, kind of like my joy and my happiness as much as it should be. I mean, these are just other people's opinions. And obviously, you know, those decisions are, you know, out of my hands in some sense. And for me, it was really just realizing, kind of sitting down and spending my alone time with the Lord and really kind of listening to his voice and where he's pulling me to. And, you know, with Jesus, it's never pulling you in a negative direction. So when I sat down and really started focusing on that in my alone time with him, it was really pulling me toward a positive and a you know, get back on your feet and let's get through this. And like I said, going back to, you know, what Paul preaches about, you know, the perseverance, developing faith. And for me, that was a big, big turning point of getting me to, you know, where I am today, not only from, you know, my career standpoint, but also from a personal standpoint.
Well, we're very happy to hear that you're feeling like you're in a better place mentally, which is awfully important as we continue our conversation with Mariners outfielder Jake Fraley on the Hot Stove Report. Jake, as we turn our attention to this season, and last time you were down there in the Valley of the Sun, man, you were sharing a house with Justin Dunn. I think, was Kyle Lewis there for a little bit with you guys as well?
Yeah, yep, he was there with us, yep.
Kalu was there. Now, I mean, the Fraley family is already, we got a lot of luggage there, man. We got a family of four in that house. Are we just the Fraleys under one roof this spring training? We got other guys? What's the housing situation?
No, we're just us. We got a nice little house out here right next to the field in Peoria, right next to the complex. We were actually trying to figure out if we were going to live with some very, very close friends of us that we consider family with Timmy Lopes and his wife Amber and their new baby Dallas. But obviously he ended up getting DFA'd and now with the Brewers. So he's a little bit more closer to over there. So that didn't necessarily work out. So we got a nice little house here next to the complex with just the Fraley family.
What kind of father advice would you give Tim Lopes if he called you up right now and was like, man, Jake, these diapers are crushing me, man. What do I do? You got experience, man.
Yeah. I would tell him probably have an excuse in your back pocket. So every time the wife comes to tell you to change a diaper, you always got it there.
Everybody's going to run out of those real fast, man. You know that better than anybody, for sure. Our final question for Jake Fraley. Jake, tonight, let's say Ken Griffey Jr. is coming over to the Fraley household for dinner. And he specifically says, Jake, I want you cooking, man. You're cooking every dish. What are you making for Junior for dinner tonight?
I'm going to have to go. I mean, my wife's Cuban, so we would have to go to a Cuban dish. One of my favorite, my wife would argue 100% my favorite dish is, it's a dish called ropa vieja. And it's actually funny because when I first married her, it was around, obviously, the Cuban cuisine more than I've ever been. it was funny because that obviously translates to old clothes. And so it's like a dish that translates to old clothes, but it's meat that is just shredded up and it's seasoned a certain way. And it's kind of in like very long strands, and you eat that over rice and obviously beans, and you could have potatoes in there. But my wife, is a very good, cook. She cooks all of her dinners every night. So I would 1000% probably have her make the ropa vieja that, we eat a lot during the off season and during the season.
I got to say, man, for Jake Fraley of Irish and German descent, you made that roll off your tongue pretty smoothly, man. Your coaching has been working out for you very well, I can tell. Well, Jake, man, it's great to visit with you once again. It's always a treat, and we hope we can see you more on a regular basis in Seattle coming up in 2021, man. Thank you so much for the time.
No problem, man. I appreciate it, guys. God bless you.
Our thanks to Mariners outfielder Jake Fraley for swinging by the program here tonight. Now subscribe to the Mariners YouTube channel for unique content, highlights, live streams, and more. It's the best way to get your daily dose of Mariners baseball. Whether it's a game day or not, visit youtube.com/Mariners to join the fun. When we come back on the Hot Stove Report, Jim Callis, senior writer at MLB Pipeline, stops by the program. We talk all things Mariners prospects, and a whole lot more. We're looking forward to it. Jim Callis joins us next.
All things Mariners, all off-season. The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Welcome back inside the Hot Stove Report. Aaron Goldsmith and Gary Hill with you. And it's a real treat right now to be joined from his home in Chicago by Jim Callis, a friend of the show, senior writer, MLB Pipeline, who does just fantastic work tracking all things prospects, 365, 24/7. Jim, it is wonderful to have you on the program once again. How are things in your world these days?
Good. You know, it's kind of fun. We have a spring training starting up and the college season starting up. And, you know, I know it's very early, but so far so good after, you know, not having a whole lot of baseball to watch outside of the big leagues last year.
Hey, Jim, are you prepared to watch an actual minor league season this year, God willing, that's actually going to happen and make your job substantially easier?
Yeah, I am. You know, I think we're probably going to have to wait until May for our first minor league games, but that's fine. You know, as long as we get, you know, 120 or so games, if they want to play them from May through September this year instead of April through August, I'm good with that. That works for me.
Well, when you take a look at what MLB Pipeline has ranked in terms of the top 100 prospects, the Mariners, not a great surprise. The Mariners have six in the top 100. The top two, of course, are Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez, who are both in your top five. You guys have Kelnick at four, Julio at five. Rounding out those top six in the top 100 for the Mariners, Emerson Hancock, 31, Logan Gilbert, 33, George Kirby, 92, and Taylor Trammell at 100. You know, we always enjoy speaking to people about the Kelnick-Rodriguez splitting hairs. You know, which do you like better? They're both fantastic. How do you decide which one is better? Can you take us through the thought process or how exactly you flip the coin of having Kelnick at four and Julio at five?
No, it's interesting. I mean, we have this debate internally. I know the Mariners do. I don't think there's a right answer. We obviously have them back to back. I mean, they both play the same position, which makes it a little easier to compare them. I mean, I think the simple comparison is that Rodriguez is going to have more power and Kelnick is a better hitter. Although I think, like, you got to be careful you don't shortchange either guy, because I think Julio Rodriguez is a plus hitter and I think Jared Kelnick's going to have plus power. I would take Kelnick. To me, if you have two guys who are close, I would bet on the guy with the better bat, for one. And two, you know, Kelnick's faster. His arm's not as good, but it's a good arm. He can play center. You know, Rodriguez is more of a corner guy, so I think there's more positional value. I would take Kelnick. I mean, it's tough because, you know, Kelnick could be, say, if these guys become what they're supposed to be, Kelnick's a center fielder who could win a batting title and hit 30 homers a year. And Rodriguez is a corner outfielder who might hit, you know, 280 to 300 with 40 homers a year. So which one do you want? They both have great makeup. You know, I don't know if you guys have spoken to Julio Rodriguez yet. I mean, he's super outgoing. I mean, he has his own podcast. He's a lot of fun. You know, Kelnick, you know, it just has this like just burning intensity. Like I tell the story anytime I do a Mariners, you know, related program of any sort. The last time I saw Jared was at the Arizona Fall League in 2019. And he barely played down there. I don't know if you guys remember, but he had his wisdom teeth out. And he was ticked. They made him sit for a while. And he was ticked because when I talked to him after his first game, I think he had a couple hits. And he's like, I don't play baseball with my mouth. I could have played. I've been ready to play for a week. You know, classic Kelnick. But like, so in the fall league, the default question you ask everybody, what are you working on down here? You know, what do you need to do? And in his case, I was like, what do you need to do, you know, before you're ready for the big leagues? You know, he obviously, you know, moved very quickly. He was in double A's first full pro season. He just looked at me and said, I'm ready for big leagues right now. Like, and it wasn't cocky and he didn't think about it. He just said that without hesitation. I'm ready for big leagues right now. He's like, I think I'm ready to hit those guys. He said that the thing I'm going to need to work on is learning to deal with adversity and accept failure. Cause I am going to struggle. These are the best pitchers in the world, but I'm ready right now. And I was just like, wow, like as if I didn't like him enough already, just to be able to pull off that line. But also, like, there was no cockiness. I mean, he was answering the question I asked him, and he's like, no, I can hit those guys right now. Let's go. And so it's just going to be a lot of fun to watch those guys. I mean, you guys probably saw the same thing we did. I mean, the Mariners, staff was great. You know, when we had no baseball really to watch outside of, you know, the big leagues last year, the Mariners were one of the best teams about showing video from the alt site. And it seemed like every other day, you know, there was a video of loud crack off Kelnick's bat and him hitting a home run. Like, I mean, for what it's worth, and I know it's not worth a lot, but if you were going by social media videos from the alt site, Kelnick probably could have played in the big leagues last year. He was crushing the ball. So I cannot wait to see these two guys.
You know, it's fun when we talk about these two, Kelnick and Rodriguez. And I guess I think about it when, you know, we end up talking about comparisons, things like that. It seems like their skill sets and their personalities fit really well together. They complement each other really well, which is fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know, I mean, I think, you know, they push each other a little bit, you know, because, I mean, they both know they're talented. They're both young. They play, you know, they're both playing the outfield. I mean, we're going to be saying their names together, you know, probably for years and years. And no, I mean, it's like you said, I don't know what you'd change about those guys, really. Like there's no glaring flaw. They have great makeup. They work hard. They're super advanced for their age. I mean, if we really want to quibble, yeah, maybe we make Julio a left-handed hitter, so he's got the platoon advantage more often. But like, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a guy who got to double A when he was 20, and a guy got to high class A when he was age 18, and they both had great seasons. It's hard to find anything to really quibble about with these guys.
Jim Callis is our guest on the Hot Stove Report. He is a senior writer for MLB Pipeline. Jim, I know there's a long way from now, but the 2021 draft will be here at some point over the summer. The Mariners will be drafting 12th overall. Last five drafts, Jim, as you know, the Mariners have gone a college player each time. Last three drafts, they've gone right-handed pitcher each time out of college. Everything can change, not just a lot, but everything can change between now and June. But as you look at 12th overall with the college season just beginning as we speak, are there any names that you think might be kind of fun to pin up on a board to at least keep in mind and keep an eye on?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if we're going to go kind of, you know, they've gone heavy college, so let's think college again. The guy, and all this must be taken with a huge grain of salt because – unlike most years, you know, there was very little summer ball play last year. Usually the college guys are scouted extensively in wood bat leagues, you know, best players playing against best players in the Cape Cod League and elsewhere. And there really wasn't any of that. Very few of the top players played any summer ball last year. There were only sporadic leagues here and there. So I know from talking to teams, they feel like as of right now, compared to a typical year, like they know the names, but they don't feel real comfortable with the college guys yet. Like that they know these guys like they would if we were coming off a normal year. Now, all that said, if we're looking at college guys to kind of fall into that 12th range, number 12 pick range, you know, based on what we know now, to me, the best case scenario, probably dreaming a little bit. I don't think he gets to him, but the best case would be somebody like Alex Benellis out of Louisville. He's actually a Wisconsin high school product like Jared Kelnick. Like Wisconsin's just cranking out talent crazily. But he's one of the better hitters in college baseball. He's got a good left-handed power. Little question on position. He's got the arm to play third. You know, might be more of a corner outfielder. But so to me, I mean, again, based on the little information we have right now compared to usual, he'd be the best case scenario for me at 12 if I'm looking for a college guy. If they go college pitcher, the two names that would make the most sense to me right now would be Ty Madden from Texas. He combines stuff and pitchability, not unlike an Emerson Hancock or Logan Gilbert, you know, who they've taken the last couple of years. You know, they theoretically, it might, you know, could be in the mix for the top lefty in the draft, who's a kid from Kansas State named Jordan Wicks, who, you know, it's weird. I'm going to make him sound like he doesn't throw hard. And he throws fine. He throws in the low 90s. But his best attributes are he probably has the best changeup in the draft, and he's super polished. And he's got a track record of performing really well in the Big 12. So those would be the pitchers. And then one other hitter who's probably a little bit more realistic than Benelis, not that the Mariners need outfielders, but you don't draft for need, is Colton Cowser at Sam Houston. He's one of the better hitters in the college class as well. He's more hit over power than say, Benelis is. Chance to play center field. And interestingly, he was high school teammates with the Ty Madden kid from Texas, who I just mentioned. And that high school team also had a Rays supplemental first-round pick named J.J. Goss from a couple years ago, and White Sox second-round pick named Matthew Thompson from a couple years ago. So that was a loaded team. But those would be my very premature four best guesses for Mariners if they go the college route at number 12.
You know, we spent, for good reason, the last year or so talking a lot about Mariners prospects. But coming into this season, what are some of the names people should know from the division? You know, the Astros and Angels, A's, Rangers. Are there a name or two that really sticks out that people should know heading into the season?
Well, the nice thing, I mean, this will make the Mariners feel good, I think, from a prospect standpoint, is I think the farm system's like the best in the system by a fairly large margin. And there isn't a lot of immediate help coming. You know, we saw for the Angels, for instance, Joe Adell came up last year and really struggled. He doesn't qualify as a prospect anymore. They have another outfielder named Brandon Marsh who could be up this year. I think he's more of the solid regular type than a potential superstar. The A's, you know, A's had their guys come up last year. You had the Jesus Lizardos, the Sean Murphys. I don't know that you're really going to see, you know, maybe A.J. Puck if he's healthy, but that's a huge question for the A's. You know, from a Mariners standpoint, I mean, not Mariners standpoint, from the Astros standpoint, you know, Forrest Whitley, you know, a couple of years ago was the best pitching prospect in baseball, but he's been through a number of minor injuries. He had a suspension a couple of years ago. He had control problems. They used 15 rookies last year on the mound, and none of them were him. So, like, he's a potential difference maker, but he's also a huge enigma. And then the Rangers, you know, I don't think the Rangers are necessarily, you know, in contending mode right now, but I think you will see a number of their best guys. I mean, we saw glimpses of Sam Huff hit a couple home runs in the last week of the season behind the plate. We saw Leody Taveras play very good center field. They traded for Dane Dunning, who pitched for the White Sox and was pretty good down the stretch. They got him in the Lance Lynn trade. Their best prospect right now is a third baseman named Josh Young, who I think is going to be up this year. So I think you'll see a lot of new faces maybe on the Rangers, but I don't think they're necessarily super close to contending, and the other teams not quite so much. So the Mariners unquestionably to me have the best young talent in the ALS right now.
Hey Jim, man, you are the best at what you do. You're always so generous with your time. We love having you on the program. Thanks for stopping by once again tonight.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Well, our thanks to Jim Callis, senior writer at MLB Pipeline, for, man, always a great look at what's going on down on the farm for the Mariners, and some of the guys we'll be seeing in a very short time from now up in the big leagues in Seattle. Plenty more to get to on the Hot Stove Report when we come back. Rob Marcello Jr., who gets set to coach for the third year of the Mariners organization. This will be his first season with AAA Tacoma as their pitching coach, a job he was supposed to have last year, if not for 2020 being what it was. We'll talk all things pitching with Rob Marcello Jr. when we come back.
Back to more of the Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Welcome back. The Hot Stove Report carries on. Aaron Goldsmith and Gary Hill, joined now by Rainiers pitching coach Rob Marcello Jr., kind enough to join us from inside the complex in Peoria, Arizona. Rob, it is our first time speaking with you. You've had quite the journey in the last couple of years. We got a lot of pitching to talk about. But for anybody who follows you on social media, on Twitter, man, like, this is – you are not a pitching follow. You are a home renovation follow. Anybody who knows your name on Twitter just knows that you're like the guy who remodels kitchens. You're the Bob Vila of pitching coaches. It's great to talk with you. How's the kitchen looking?
The kitchen's good. I think my wife is happier than I am that it's finally done. Dealing with COVID, dealing with me kind of walking in. She bought the house when I was coaching in Modesto. So I walked in without ever seeing the house, just seeing it via FaceTime, and kind of said I didn't like the kitchen. So started demolishing it, not knowing much about it, and then rebuilt it. So it's taken some time and learned a bunch from it. So it's fun.
Yeah. Home for you is in Florida. When you undertook this process, I mean, was this something that you had dabbled in before, or is this a complete rookie renovation for you?
I've had some odd jobs growing up. So it was something there, and then junior college coach now remodels houses. So I gave him a call as soon as I started going, and I was like, man, should I do this? He's like, yeah, man, just YouTube it. which obviously the wife did not appreciate. I'm thankful I had help come in, obviously teach me those things. I sat there, watched a bunch of stuff. Again, it just takes time. It takes time and want things a certain way, and it's your house and you're trying to make it a certain way. And you're like, uh-oh, don't have the money for that. I'll wait another month and find another odd job, pick up some baseball lessons, pay for it. So I'm glad it's done. Glad I got to leave this year and have a new kitchen for my wife and kids. So.
Yeah, for all of us young dads out there, we certainly enjoy your hashtag dad life posts. And you do have two just adorable little girls, quite the family man, we can tell. Rob Marcello Jr. is our guest here on the Hot Stove Report. He is the Rainiers, I would say the new Rainiers pitching coach, but he really should be going into year two as the Rainiers pitching coach. If last year was a normal season, it would have been Rob's first year. This is technically his third year in the organization. Rob, you were the Modesto pitching coach back in 2019 at low A ball. Your journey from high school prospect to junior college to being drafted to retiring after a season and getting right into coaching, it's been a whirlwind. Can you give us kind of the Cliff Notes version as to how you went from a college pitcher to now a AAA pitching coach in what seems like the blink of an eye?
Yeah, I think whirlwind is the perfect word to use there. It's opening up doors, found some doors that were open, took some chances, and ended up in an organization that I felt appreciated in. And kudos to Andy kind of bringing me in right away and trusting me going to the A-ball, and then kind of that promotion helped. And again, it all started, I would say, at Rollins College. I was the JV pitching coach making $2,000 a year. Wife was pregnant, almost due, got into her master's degree at UCF. So obviously being baby's on the way, got to get some money, started doing lessons. Ended up one of our players at Rollins College introduced me to Brent Strom, Astros pitching coach. Got the fly out, meet him, and then he was like, man, you're good. Like, you know your stuff. And kind of gave me that confidence I needed. Obviously, like, trying to find the way in baseball, and he got me connected to a bunch of people, and it helped. And that's what this game is. It's those connections that end up helping you out the most. So from there, I ended up meeting Paul Davis. And then when Paul was here, 19, kind of gave the name to Andy and ended up getting hired and jumping right into the Mariners. So it's been a journey. It's been a journey, and I don't think it's over at all. So it's fun.
What do you like most about coaching?
The players. For me, the minor league system is an enjoyment. Seeing those guys get to climb, promoting guys, seeing the smile on their face saying, hey, you get to go to Double-A. And even at the alternate side, hey, man, you get to go to the big league. Seeing that enjoyment on their face, it's something as a player I didn't get. But seeing them accomplish their goals and get to a point where, hey, man, I'm finally there, or I'm getting closer, I think it's fun. And it's the same thing back. I think they enjoy me in the same way. Like, man, you're a dad, you're doing this stuff. Like, how are you trying to navigate it? So it works both ways.
One of the guys that you've had a chance to spend some time with now the last couple of years is Logan Gilbert, one of the top pitching prospects in the game. And you had a chance to see some of, really, in the grand scheme of his career, some of his very first starts when he was in A-ball with you. He told me a story about a mound visit where you came out to the mound and you just stared at him. And he just stared back at you. And you guys just looked at each other for what he made it sound like was like 5 minutes before anybody said anything. Can you walk us through what you obviously remember this? You're laughing. Can you tell us what happened?
I do remember it. And mine, Logan's past goes further than just the Mariners. I ended up training him at the facility I owned for a little bit, short period of time. So I knew him. My expectations are high as a coach. And I think he either walked a guy and threw a ball, wasn't winning his OOs, kind of the Mariners philosophy. And I remember just walking out and he knew it. He knew exactly why I was coming out. And it was like, I'm not going to say a word. You know what's wrong. Like, but I'm going to call time pretty much and just walk out there and let you know that you're not doing your job up to your expectation. And he talks about it all the time. It's like, man, you really walked out and didn't say a word. I'm like, and coming back, he knew exactly why. He's like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have thrown that pitch or shouldn't have walked this guy. He knows his mistakes. And it was just, hey man, I'm here and I know you messed up. So this is why I'm out here.
So just to clarify, you truly never said a single word.
Yeah. I want to say, I don't even know if the catcher came out. I think I'm going to stay there and it was just going to be me and Logan out there. I'm pretty sure the umpire walked up and I don't think I said a word to him either. The expectations for Logan have always been high. Again, I just hold it as a coach. Say you're out there to go do your job. And if you're not going to do it, I'm going to remind you that you're not doing your job yet.
Mariner fans are very excited to see Logan Gilbert for the first time. We hope at some point this year. And you've been with them for a while. Tell us about Logan Gilbert as a pitcher.
The most prepared pitcher you'll see. His daily routine day in and day out is top notch. It's something that I think other players gravitate towards and see him do his work. And we're like, okay, how do I get up to his level? And I think it raises the bar. It raises the bar for every pitcher in the clubhouse whenever he's around. It's like, okay, this guy's prepared. He went out, he did his job, and you're like, okay, what can I pick up on him? Even though he'll be young, I think he'll bring that presence to the locker room more than anything. That guy's going to go out and compete day in and day out and try to give you 7-8 innings every single outing and not want the ball to go to the bullpen at all. He either wants to throw 7 or throw a complete game. It's his ball and it's his game. It's his day. That's the way he feels every time.
It's a treat to be joined by Rob Marcello Jr. He is the Rainiers pitching coach for 2021. Rob, there's not a single guy who gets hired in this game today who doesn't have a grasp on the analytical side of the game. That's clearly something that you have in your back pocket. Tell us what role that plays for you in your coaching, how much you lean on and how much you communicate it.
It's communicated a lot, and the best way to describe it is as a coach, we have to simplify it as much as possible to the player and get them to buy into it. Our analytical department here gives us the answers to the test on how this pitcher can be in the big leagues. It's how can we communicate it to the pitcher and make them believe in it as quick as possible. And it starts with building relationships. As much as knowledge is out there, you can Google anything you want. So in coaching, it's about building that relationship and then having that in your back pocket so you can talk to the extremely intelligent player that wants to dive in deeper. But you have it's pitching. You have the extremely intelligent. Then you have the guy who, hey, man, I'm just going to go out there and throw. And you're like, okay, but we need to understand a little bit of this. So it's trying to navigate both worlds when talking to a pitching staff, which is fun. It's a challenge. And it's a fun challenge.
You know, I think about it, and it wasn't that long ago that you were a pitcher, and just how much information we've learned since then in that short amount of time. How do you stay on top of what always feels like an ever-evolving field?
For me, it's leaning on staff members. It's something that it's easy to do with the Mariners. It's a very open communication where, hey, man, what are you talking about today? I mean, even walking in day one, Woody and Trent were talking about something else. Man, I haven't heard that terminology yet. Okay, hey, what were you guys talking about? Let me dive into it tonight. And you just pick up on cues. And the key to being a good coach for me is being a good listener. You sit in a room with top-notch coaches, guys that have been doing it forever, and you start to hear certain things, and you're like, all right, let me dive into that tonight. I say, especially when I'm away from home, I have nothing to go home to. So I just sit on the computer. Hey, let's start Googling stuff. Let's start looking up stuff. Let's start asking people questions that I might know. And that's the best way to stay on top of it, is sitting in a room and being a good listener.
Rob, Seattle or Tacoma is a long way from your home in Florida, but you have some family in Seattle. Tell us about that.
Yeah. And it's a cool experience for me. My dad passed away when I was 13. So it's my dad's side. It's his sister. So it's going to be a cool experience to kind of reconnect with her. She's been out there a while. has battled breast cancer. So it's kind of cool to give them Mariners gear that I have and kind of support them in a cool way. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited for my kids, my wife to fly out, kind of interact with their families and get to hang out in a new part of the U.S.
Rob, we know you're eager to put the tool belt down and pick up the Rapsodo for the next few months. So we're happy to have you on the program. We're thrilled to follow you and the Rainiers this year in 2021. And you have come a long way in a short period of time, man. And your future remains very, very bright. Thanks for hopping on with us here tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Man, good to talk things over with Rob Marcello Jr., who will be going into his first year as the Rainiers pitching coach here in 2021. Eager to catch up with him again once the season gets underway. Well, baseball is just around the corner. The best way to catch the action of the Mariners this season is with the 2021 Flex membership. It's the most flexible plan of the game, allowing you to attend the games you want, sit where you want, and spend what you want, all with no deposit required. For more information on how you can become a Flex member, text 21 to 71532. When we return on the Hot Stove Report, we are eager to talk to this young man, Cal Raleigh, Mariners catching prospect, joins us next after this timeout.
All things Mariners, all offseason. The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Hot Stove Report rolls along. Aaron Goldsmith and Gary Hill, and we're excited to be talking with one of the Mariners' top prospects and a guy that we've been talking about on the air, and we followed his 2019 season very closely in Seattle throughout the course of the months that he was just on an absolute rampage in high A and double A. We're joined by Mariners catching prospect Cal Raleigh, who's down in Arizona. Cal, it's great to finally talk with you, man. How are you doing these days?
Yeah, it's good to be here. Doing well, you know, just getting going here at camp and, you know, excited for a full 2021 season.
Absolutely. We all are. This has been a bizarre stretch of time in your baseball life. What has this offseason been like for you following a season where you didn't get to compete at the normal level that you've been used to your whole life?
Yeah, it's been weird. I mean, obviously, not just me, everybody. Everybody's had to deal with it. And, you know, it's something that's, you know, very unfortunate. But, you know, you just kind of keep chugging along and keep working hard and, you know that things are going to get back to normal one day. And, you know, there's still camp to get ready for and still season coming up. So when all that stuff comes to play, you know, it's the same old, but still in the weird COVID times right now.
You know, for those who maybe don't remember kind of your origins quite as well, Cal, a quick refresher, Florida State guy, third round draft pick 2018 by the Mariners. 2019 was your first full season, and we just saw that huge leap for you that year. You had a chance to work with a lot of guys who we've spoken to and talked about a lot. One of those guys is Logan Gilbert. And, man, Logan just lights up when he talks about working with you. And Logan is a prepaholic. I don't have to tell you that. He is as prepared as anybody. And his quote to us on this program was, I thought I prepared for a game better than anybody, and then along came Cal. So with that in mind, tell us about your preparation process day in and day out, specifically when it comes to helping your pitchers out.
Yeah, you know, it's an important, you know, part of what we do as catchers. I was taught, you know, very early on, obviously being a coach's kid, you know, preparation is key. And, you go into a game prepared, you know, it makes things a lot easier once you get there. And, you know, the Mariners really do a good job of getting us ready for games and letting us know that we need to be prepared. We need to know what to do. And I think that's just something that, you know, I definitely got accustomed to in my first full year and learned how to put it into my game. And pitchers, they have a lot going on. If I can be part of their brain or part of their thinking process, and that makes it just easier for them to go out there and pitch. You know, they don't have to think as much. They don't have to do as much, you know, kind of searching or, you know, what if I need to this pitch, this spot. I feel like that's what the catcher's there for. You know, he can kind of guide the pitcher and, you know, help him as much as he can and try to get outs and win ball games.
What's it like catching Logan?
A lot of fun to catch. It's funny. I actually caught his pin the other day and, going into it, I'm like, all right, I've caught Logan a bunch of times. I know exactly what he's going to be throwing. But then I get down there, and his fastball has even more life than what I remember. And I was like, wow, he got even better this offseason. So it was cool to see, and getting to catch him is a lot of fun. You know, like nobody takes it more serious and nobody has more devoted and how much time and effort they put in than Logan does. He's put his work in and he puts it in every day and he punches that clock and everybody knows when it's his start day. You know, everybody's like, oh, it's Logan's start day. We don't need to score many runs, or we don't need to worry about a guy not going to go more than three innings. He's going to go out every time and compete and give you his best. And I think that's all you can ask for as a catcher and a teammate. So
Mariners catching prospect Cal Raleigh is our guest on the Hot Stove Report. Cal, you mentioned you grew up in baseball, coach's son. I think this is fascinating. Your father, Todd, signed with the Red Sox, and your uncle, Matt, was a draft pick of the Expos back in 1992. And your uncle was actually minor league teammates with Scott Hunter, who was the Mariners' scouting director. He coordinates the drafts for the Mariners. This is a relationship between those two gentlemen that seems like it's still very much intact to this day. Who would have ever guessed that the baseball circles of gods would bring everybody back together through your career? What is your relationship like with your uncle, and how much have you had a chance to talk to Scott Hunter about what kind of player he was back in the day?
Yeah. You know, me and my uncle, we talk often. He's a big hitting guy. Definitely him and my dad have definitely taught me so much about, you know, playing and just getting to be around those guys. It's been awesome. And just been very lucky that I've had that. And, you know, not a lot of people, you know, have fathers and uncles that play professional baseball or coach professional baseball, coach college baseball. So getting to grow up around that was awesome. And yeah, it's kind of funny how that all works out and how small this world seems like it is sometimes.
I always think about everything a young catcher has on his plate. I mean, as you move through the system, you're working on your hitting, right? And you're getting to know your pitchers and you're learning about other hitters, how to attack them. It just seems like there is so much preparation that goes into it, especially for a young catcher, learning you and learning the system and learning everything else. How much work is it? How difficult is it as you maneuver through your minor league career?
I wouldn't say it's easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. So, but, you know, you gotta take everything one step at a time. You know, you can't try to mesh everything together. You can't try to be Superman and do all these things and try to please everybody. I'd say, you know, being prepared, knowing what you need to do and what's going to get you right for, you know, 7 o'clock, what time's game time. And I think that's something I had to learn early on, you know, especially my first camp, even some of my second camp, I was trying to do too much. I was trying to do everything and trying to please everybody and just realizing you can't do that. And you need to, you know, do what's best for you because that's what's going to be best for the team. So if I can get myself prepared in every aspect, you know, taking one step at a time, then I know that I'll give my team the best chance to win and the best, you know, player they can get.
Hey, Cal, during some of the idle time over the last, let's call it years worth of time, you've been a busy guy, man. You went back to Tallahassee, got everything buttoned up with the degree, finished that final year. You are a fully educated young man. Tell us about what you ended up getting a major in and what that process was like being a pro ball player, but picking up some textbooks during the offseason.
I guess I went back in 19. I started back in 19 and knocked out 5 courses. And then obviously COVID hit and I was like, you know what? I might as well try to finish this thing up. I mean, I can get another chance like this, especially with the season being delayed. And, you know, I always told my parents I would go back and get my degree. They really wanted me to earn that and get that. And they always told me nobody can ever take that away from you. So, just going back and keeping that promise and just being a good role model, especially for my younger siblings, they can see that. And, that was important for me. And that was, I think that was something I'm very proud of. I guess going back to your question, it was business entrepreneurship is what I got my degree in at Florida State.
Cal Raleigh is our guest on the Hot Stove Report. Along the lines, Cal, of game calling, I know Dan Wilson and others on the coaching staff from the majors all the way through the lowest level, the minors, for the last couple of off seasons, been holding the GCU Game Calling University, where all the catchers get together and talk about specifically that. I'm curious your interactions with Dan in that platform and what GCU has done for you and your development.
Dan's awesome. I got to work very closely with Dan last year at the alternate site up in Tacoma. Getting to work him with every day was great. He's the man. Dan the man is what we call him. But played in the league for 10 plus years, had a great career, well respected around the league. He's super smart too. You know, just getting to pick his brain and have him watch you, and you know, just the little things he says, you can just tell. Like he's one of the smarter minds I've ever been around. He could, you know, in my mind, easily be a manager for all 30 clubs right now. He's that smart. And like I said, getting to work with him every day is a blessing, and having a guy like that around the org is very beneficial. And those calls have been really good as well. We had those every week for about 2 hours going over pitchers this off season, and getting to do that was good. Having a lot of the catchers on, and, you know, the coaching staff, and a lot of people who work hard to put that information together. It was a lot of fun getting to learn and go over a lot of pitchers, and so we can be ready for camp.
Cal, this has been a lot of fun, man. We are so excited about your future, and we've loved tracking your career to this point, and we're eager to whenever that day comes where we get to see you up in Seattle. So thanks for spending time with us here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Great to talk things over with Mariners catching prospect Cal Raleigh, a guy that we have heard a lot of great things about for a number of years at this point, and we're happy to have him on the program. Well, the Mariners team store is ready to help outfit you for the 2021 season at any of their four convenient locations, or if you prefer, you can also place an order by emailing marinersteamstore@mariners.com to arrange delivery or curbside pickup. For information and hours, visit mariners.com/teamstore. Well, that just about does it for Gary. Hard to believe it. Our final hot stove report for 2021. We are transitioning to the Cactus League report, and our first spring training broadcast, first game of the spring for the Mariners, comes on Sunday. This is it's all gone by so quickly. Our thanks to all of our guests on the program tonight, to all who made this one possible. Gary Hill, I'm Aaron Goldsmith. We'll talk to you next from the Valley of the Sun.